You're sitting in a hospital conference room watching a doctor present compelling data about vaccines. The statistics are clear, the evidence overwhelming. Yet afterward, the skeptical parents in the audience remain unmoved. This scene, witnessed by cognitive neuroscientist Tali Sharat, reveals a fundamental truth about human influence. Those with the most important messages aren't necessarily those with the greatest impact. Despite our information-saturated world, with billions of Google searches and YouTube videos consumed daily, we remain stubbornly resistant to facts that contradict our existing beliefs. Sharat's groundbreaking work, which has garnered praise from thought leaders like Daniel Kahneman and Dan Ariely, offers a revolutionary approach to influence based not on more data, but on understanding the fundamental workings of the human brain. Her insights have transformed how organizations, from governments to Fortune 500 companies, approach communication, making this one of the most practically applicable psychology books of the decade. When attorneys Thelma and Jeremiah debate whether to settle in France or America, they bombard each other with statistics about education systems, healthcare, and career opportunities. Yet neither budges. Each dismisses the other's evidence as unreliable. This approach, presenting facts and logical arguments, is our instinctive strategy for changing minds. Yet it rarely works. Our brains aren't designed to process information objectively. When presented with new data, we quickly accept evidence confirming our prior beliefs while scrutinizing contradictory information with skepticism. This creates a polarization that expands over time as people consume more information. The boomerang effect occurs when contradictory information actually strengthens original beliefs, like Thelma, who not only discarded unwelcome evidence about education systems, but developed new arguments favoring France she'd never considered before. Today's digital environment exacerbates this problem. Search engines and social media create personalized filter bubbles that reinforce existing views. Google customizes search results based on past activity and geographical location, meaning Democrats and Republicans searching for presidential debate receive entirely different results, each confirming their existing views. Since this filtering happens invisibly, we become increasingly confident in our views, unaware we're seeing a curated reality. Counterintuitively, intelligence doesn't mitigate confirmation bias, it amplifies it. Research shows people with stronger analytical abilities are actually more adept at twisting data to fit their opinions. In a study of 1,111 Americans, participants were given identical datasets, presented either as skin rash treatment results or gun control statistics. Those with higher mathematical skills excelled at analyzing the neutral skin treatment data, but performed worse with the politically charged gun data. Why did humans evolve brains that discard valid information contradicting existing beliefs? Some scholars suggest reasoning evolved not to uncover truth, but to persuade others we're right. However, a more plausible explanation is that interpreting new information in light of established knowledge is generally adaptive. When encountering data contradicting what we know, that data is often wrong, like claims of flying elephants. Our belief formation weighs four factors: our prior belief, our confidence in that belief, the new evidence, and our confidence in that evidence. When beliefs are difficult to change, seeding new ones may be more effective than challenging old ones. Rather than trying to dispel myths about MMR vaccines causing autism, researchers found success by implanting new beliefs, emphasizing that vaccines protect children from deadly diseases. This approach worked because it found common ground, child health, rather than contradicting established fears.
When President Kennedy delivered his famous 1962 speech persuading Americans to support the moon mission, something remarkable happened. His words synchronized the brains of his listeners. Research at Princeton University revealed that during powerful speeches, listeners' brains actually tick together. Neural activity synchronizes across individuals, not just in language regions, but also in areas processing emotions and empathy. This synchronization is strongest during emotionally charged moments. When people watched The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, their brains synchronized most powerfully during surprises, gunshots, and explosions. Up to 30% of individuals' brains ticked together in uniform patterns. This makes evolutionary sense. Emotional reactions signal something important is happening, drafting most of the brain to process the event. The amygdala sends an alert signal, activating the hippocampus to enhance memory, altering cortical activity to focus attention, and triggering physical responses. Emotions transfer instantly between people, unlike ideas, which require cognitive effort. We unconsciously absorb others' emotional states through facial expressions, tone, posture, and language. This emotional contagion serves an evolutionary purpose. Detecting fear in others alerts us to potential danger, while sensing excitement directs us toward rewards. This ability begins at birth, as demonstrated in Wendy Mendes' study, where one-year-old infants' heart rates synchronized with their mother's stress levels despite not witnessing the stressful event. Social media powerfully amplifies emotional contagion. In a controversial Facebook experiment, users shown more positive content posted more positively themselves, while those exposed to negative content created more negative posts. Twitter particularly heightens emotional arousal. Studies show tweeting raises pulse, induces sweating, and enlarges pupils, increasing emotional arousal by 75% compared to passive web browsing. Even just reading your Twitter feed increases emotional arousal by 65%. Neural synchronization is strongest between people with similar brains and bodies, explaining why identical twins often feel metaphysically connected. They share genes and experiences that create similar neural responses. But synchronization occurs even across species. When humans and macaques watch the same films, their eye movements overlap 31% of the time, particularly when faces and eyes appear on screen. Between two humans watching the same film, eye movements synchronize 65% of the time, remarkably close to the 70% overlap when the same person watches a film twice. Traditional approaches to changing behavior often rely on warnings and threats. Hospitals post signs about disease spread to improve hand hygiene, governments warn about climate change, and doctors caution patients about future health problems. Yet these approaches consistently fail because our brains respond differently to positive incentives than to negative warnings. When researchers tackled abysmal hand hygiene compliance in an ICU, surveillance cameras alone failed to improve the 10% sanitization rate, even when staff knew they were being monitored. The breakthrough came when electronic boards were installed, providing immediate positive feedback, showing compliance percentages, and offering encouraging messages like, "You are doing great." Compliance skyrocketed to 90%. This success reflects a fundamental principle about human psychology. We're hardwired to approach pleasure and avoid pain. Our brains are structured so anticipating rewards triggers action, the go response, while fear of loss tends to trigger inaction. This asymmetry explains why positive feedback was more effective at getting medical staff to wash their hands than threats of illness. In an experiment at University College London, participants were quicker and more successful at pressing a button to gain money than to avoid losing it. The brain's go signals originate in the midbrain and travel to the striatum and frontal cortex to initiate action, while no-go signals inhibit responses, making us naturally more likely to act when anticipating good outcomes than bad ones. The famous marshmallow study by Walter Mischel demonstrated how children struggle with delaying gratification. In the experiment, preschoolers were offered one marshmallow immediately or two if they could wait. Many children found this incredibly difficult because our brains are wired to trigger a go response when anticipating rewards. The nucleus accumbens in our brain produces stronger signals for immediate rewards than future ones, making now worth more than later. However, there's another interpretation of the marshmallow study beyond self-control: children's expectations about the future. Children who ate the marshmallow immediately might not have trusted that the researcher would return with a second treat. A University of Rochester experiment confirmed this by manipulating children's trust before the marshmallow test. Children who experienced an unreliable environment, where promised better crayons never arrived, waited only 3 minutes on average for the second marshmallow, while those in a reliable environment waited 12 minutes.
The challenge in changing behavior through warnings about disease, financial loss, or global warming is that these are all uncertain future threats. People easily convince themselves they'll be fine despite continuing harmful behaviors. This explains why immediate, certain rewards often prove more effective than distant punishments. Our seemingly irrational fears reveal something profound about human psychology. While the leading causes of death include heart disease, cancer, and accidents related to smoking, diet, and driving, our most common phobias focus on threats unlikely to harm us. Arachnophobia, fear of spiders, tops the list despite only 6 Americans dying annually from spider venom. The real issue behind many fears is loss of control. When boarding a plane, we surrender control to the pilot with limited information and no escape. Most people become anxious when their ability to control their environment is removed, whether stuck in traffic, physically restrained, or even as passengers rather than drivers. This need for control appears early in development, from infants insisting on holding their own bottles to toddlers' do-it-myself tantrums. Control directly relates to influence. When you change someone's beliefs, you exert control over them. To effectively influence others, we must overcome our own control instincts while respecting others' need for agency. People resist when their autonomy is threatened, but embrace experiences that expand their sense of control. A Harvard study on tax compliance demonstrated this principle. When participants could suggest how their lab tax would be spent, compliance jumped from 50% to 70%. Our desire for control can lead to worse outcomes. Consider Theo, a bartender who keeps his tips under his mattress rather than in interest-bearing accounts because it gives him a sense of control, both over his funds and his own spending impulses. Similarly, many people hold excessive cash in checking accounts despite suboptimal returns because it makes them feel safe. When investing, people prefer domestic markets due to an illusionary sense that local economies are more under their control. People who feel in control of their lives are demonstrably happier and healthier. Cancer patients with greater perception of control survive longer, and lower cardiovascular disease risk is associated with a sense of agency. This makes sense. Control reduces fear, anxiety, and stress, all detrimental to our bodies. Can enhancing people's sense of control improve well-being? Judith Roden and Ellen Langer tested this with elderly nursing home residents, who typically experience severe reduction in agency. They designated one floor as the agency floor, where residents were encouraged to take responsibility for themselves and care for a plant. On the no agency floor, residents were told staff would take care of everything, including watering their plants. Despite no actual difference in what residents could do, those encouraged to take control became happier, more mentally alert, participated in more activities, and were healthier 18 months later. To influence effectively, we must overcome our control instinct and offer choices instead. Ironically, releasing control becomes a powerful influence tool. Having children make their own salads increases the chance they'll eat vegetables. Letting students build syllabi increases interest, and involving employees in creating company rules boosts motivation. How do you get people to pay attention to important information they'd rather ignore? Airlines faced this challenge with safety demonstrations. Passengers preferred scrolling through social media to listening to potentially life-saving instructions. The solution wasn't more emphasis on danger, but reframing with positive emotions. Safety videos now feature dancing, humor, and beautiful destinations, and people actually watch them, with Virgin America's video garnering millions of views online. Neuroscientists discovered that even monkeys crave advance information, willingly sacrificing water drops just to know whether they'd receive a large or small reward later. Brain recordings revealed that dopaminergic neurons, the same ones that fire for rewards like food, respond similarly to receiving information. These neurons, which connect primitive brain regions to reward processing areas, treat knowledge as valuable as physical rewards. This partially explains our obsession with platforms like Google and Twitter. Our brains code for information seeking using the same neural mechanisms that drive us toward essentials for survival. Information affects not just decisions, but feelings. Consider Albert, elated despite being in a cold prison cell because he knows tomorrow brings freedom and a warm family dinner. Meanwhile, Oscar is miserable during that same warm family dinner because he knows imprisonment awaits him tomorrow. People seek not only rewards, but beliefs that rewards are coming, as beliefs themselves generate emotions. However, we avoid information we suspect will make us feel bad. Despite 45-70% of people at risk for Huntington's disease saying they'd get tested, only 10-20% actually do. Similarly, 42% of women decline to receive their breast cancer genetic test results, even though this knowledge could save their lives. This avoidance stems from our desire to preserve positive beliefs. As long as we remain ignorant, we can maintain hope. We mentally calculate whether to seek information based on three factors: the tangible benefits of knowing, will it change our actions, the emotional impact of uncertainty, often negative, and the emotional value of the information itself. People check their stock portfolios more frequently when markets rise and avoid looking when markets fall, a striking example of our tendency to seek good news and avoid bad. Does avoiding unpleasant information actually improve our mental state? In a 1972 Berkeley experiment, male students received electric shocks while choosing between listening to music or an information channel that warned of upcoming shocks. Though the warning channel allowed them to avoid shocks, 25% still chose music. Physiological measurements revealed those who chose music showed greater anxiety than those who chose information. Even when shocks were unavoidable in a second experiment, those who selected the information channel exhibited less anxiety. Knowing when pain would come allowed them to relax between shocks. To influence others, we must shift their mental calculator that computes information value, highlight knowledge gaps, clarify how information helps, and frame messages to induce hope rather than dread. This doesn't mean sugarcoating, but presenting problems in terms of potential solutions rather than incompetence.
Under stress and threat, our minds process information dramatically differently, becoming highly susceptible to influence. When under threat, our bodies trigger a pre-programmed stress response. Cortisol secretion increases heart rate and breathing while shutting down non-urgent functions like immune, digestive, and reproductive systems. Even minor stressors like traffic jams can trigger this response. The author's research shows that stress fundamentally alters how we process information. Experiments revealed that stressed participants were much more likely to absorb negative information than when relaxed. This explains why people catch illusory illnesses or follow others blindly in threatening environments. Our brains automatically absorb danger cues when stressed. When stressed, people fixate on detecting dangers and overreact to threats. The author's research with Colorado firefighters showed that on stressful days, they became more influenced by negative information completely unrelated to their work. This survival mechanism becomes problematic in modern contexts. People overreact to distant threats like terrorist attacks, causing worldwide panic and hypervigilance. Financial markets similarly overreact to downturns, creating feedback loops of panic and pessimism that lead to excessive conservatism. Michael Chang's remarkable victory over Ivan Lendl demonstrates how reframing a threatening situation can overcome our instinct to play it safe under pressure. By consciously shifting his perspective to see the match as an opportunity to bring a smile upon Chinese people's faces after Tiananmen Square, Chang accessed unconventional strategies rather than retreating to safety. This ability to redirect attention is uniquely human. We can consciously alter our emotional states to overcome instinctive patterns. At the California Institute of Technology, researchers studied how competitive pressure affects academic performance. When students took IQ tests while being shown their rankings among peers, everyone's scores initially dropped due to anxiety. However, some students recovered and even improved, while others remained impaired. Brain scans revealed the difference. All students showed initial high amygdala activity, fear response, but those who recovered showed rapidly decreasing amygdala activity coupled with increasing frontal lobe activity. Essentially, they cognitively tamed their fear and refocused on the task. Our emotional states influence decision-making in ways we rarely recognize. Positive moods can affect risk-taking just as negative ones do. a study of New York lottery ticket sales revealed that purchases increased following unexpected positive events, like local sports team victories or unusually sunny winter days. The theory is that positive moods make people focus on how things might go their way, leading them to overestimate their luck and take more risks.
Humans are born with an innate predisposition for social learning. The author's infant daughter demonstrated this by obsessively seeking out iPhones despite having no practical use for them, simply because she observed her parents constantly interacting with these devices. This instinctive tendency to learn from others allows humans to acquire knowledge efficiently without relying solely on personal trial and error. In 1997, Craig Tanimoto created the iconic Think Different Apple campaign, featuring black and white images of extraordinary people like Edison, Einstein, and Gandhi. The campaign tapped into our paradoxical desire to be unique yet trendy. This reveals our fundamental nature. While we see ourselves as independent thinkers, we unconsciously adopt the preferences of others, from music choices to technology and even baby names. Bandura's classic 1960s experiment with preschoolers demonstrated how powerfully we're influenced by others' behaviors. Children who witnessed an adult behaving aggressively toward a doll later mimicked that aggression when frustrated, while those who hadn't observed violence didn't act out. We're all unwitting models. Our behaviors signal what's normative and desirable to those around us, especially to those paying close attention, like children and mentees. The danger of social learning is that we often influence others to make decisions that aren't best for them. While following others' choices made evolutionary sense for our hunter-gatherer ancestors whose basic needs aligned, today's specialized world means what's valuable to me may be useless to you. This leads to potentially harmful consequences, like the 10% of kidney donations that go unused yearly because patients decline organs previously rejected by others, assuming they're faulty. In an experiment at the Weizmann Institute, researchers discovered that social influence can permanently alter memories. When participants were shown fake answers from others about a documentary they watched, 70% abandoned their correct memories. Even after learning some answers were deliberately falsified, half couldn't recover their original memories. They were permanently changed. Brain scans revealed the amygdala, involved in social processing and emotions, activated when participants saw others' answers, communicating with the hippocampus to physically alter memory traces. Our decisions influence others not just through observation, but through the visible consequences of our choices. Like Adelie penguins who wait at the water's edge until one brave penguin jumps in first, revealing whether predators lurk below, humans watch others take risks before following suit. This learn and live strategy applies to everything, from diving boards to major life decisions like starting businesses or divorcing. Humans uniquely possess theory of mind, the ability to think about what others are thinking. This skill helps us navigate social situations by predicting others' thoughts and adjusting our behavior accordingly. However, we inevitably use our own state to make inferences about others, which can lead to incorrect conclusions. At a cocktail party, someone might decline food because they're full, but a hungry observer might assume the food is bad.
Despite the reassuring sound of unanimous decisions, the celebrated success stories of authors like Marlon James and J.K. Rowling reveal the fallibility of group consensus. James's debut novel was unanimously rejected 78 times before finding a publisher, while Rowling's Harry Potter manuscript was turned down by 12 editors before Bloomsbury's Barry Cunningham, influenced by his 8-year-old daughter Alice, took a chance on it. The notion that crowds are wise dates back to 1907, when Francis Galton discovered that the median guess of 800 people accurately estimated an ox's weight. However, this wisdom isn't magical. It's mathematical, working only under specific conditions, particularly when individual opinions remain truly independent. Like thermometers with different calibration errors, people's individual guesses naturally distribute around the truth. Some overestimate, others underestimate, causing errors to cancel out when averaged. True independence in decision-making is nearly impossible in our interconnected world.
When a publishing editor needs his team's input on a manuscript's value, having them write down their estimates before discussing prevents social influence from creating false consensus. Without this precaution, early opinions bias later ones, eliminating the error-canceling benefit of multiple perspectives. Even without a crowd, individuals can tap into their own internal wise crowd. Psychologists Ed Vohl and Harold Pashler demonstrated this through an online experiment where 428 participants answered trivia questions twice, either minutes apart or 3 weeks later. When answers were averaged, the combined error was smaller than either guess alone, with the effect more pronounced after the 3 week delay, improving accuracy by 16.5% versus 6.5% for immediate second guesses. When combining independent opinions, simply averaging everyone's judgments isn't always optimal because people's estimates can be systematically biased in the same direction. For example, if a fat ox stands next to a skinny one, most people will overestimate the fat ox's weight due to relative perception. Human brains produce many systematic biases, from overly optimistic project timelines to common trivia errors. Our tendency to rely on majority opinion often leads to suboptimal choices. Throughout history, ideas once widely accepted have later been proven false. Yet we instinctively go with the crowd because we operate on mental shortcuts called heuristics. Researcher Bahadur Bahrami calls this the equality bias, our tendency to weigh everyone's opinion equally, regardless of differences in expertise or reliability. When faced with difficult questions, relying on majority opinion often leads to incorrect answers. John McCoy and economist Drazen Prelick developed the surprisingly popular vote technique to find truth within crowds. Rather than simply tallying answers, this method compares what people believe versus what they think others believe. The correct answer is often the one that's more popular than people predicted it would be. The crowd does contain wisdom, but that wisdom is often held by a minority, whether it's the 79th editor evaluating a manuscript or the 17% who correctly solve a tricky problem. Human influence has evolved dramatically through our history. From our earliest ancestors who communicated through facial expressions, touch, and sound, to the development of language, each technological advancement has expanded our ability to share opinions and beliefs. Written language emerged 5,200 years ago, allowing ideas to reach across time and space. The printing press, 1440, radio, early 20th century, television, 1927, and finally the internet, 1990, have progressively democratized our ability to influence others. Human communication fundamentally involves converting electrical signals from one brain into environmental signals, speech, text, movement, that are then reconverted into electrical signals in another brain. But neuroscientists are now exploring whether brains can be directly connected, allowing one brain to learn directly from the electrical signals of another without environmental intermediaries. While direct brain-to-brain connections have been achieved with mice, like Einstein teaching Homer which lever to press through direct neural transmission, human applications face ethical and practical challenges. Some researchers have pursued non-invasive methods using EEG to record brain signals and transmit them between humans and animals. At Harvard, researchers demonstrated how human thoughts could control a rat's tail movements through transmitted brain signals. Similar technology has allowed paralyzed patients like Jan Schoerman to control robotic limbs and even flight simulators with her thoughts alone. Our minds are fundamentally created by our brains. While we are composed of many body parts, changing the brain changes who we essentially are. Transplanting someone else's heart into your body wouldn't change your personality or memories, but transplanting their brain would completely transform you into them. Brain injuries, tumors, and chemical substances can dramatically alter thoughts, feelings, memories, and personality. Though direct brain-to-brain thought transmission remains distant, we already influence each other's brains through language, expressions, and actions. Understanding how minds and brains function helps us create impact and avoid systematic errors when trying to influence others. The machinery of the mind includes interconnected regions that collectively shape our actions, thoughts, and beliefs. the ventral tegmental area, substantia nigra, signaling reward expectations, nucleus accumbens, the reward center, amygdala, processing emotion and arousal, hippocampus, important for memory, frontal cortex, supporting higher cognitive functions, and motor cortex, inducing action. By understanding these neural networks, we gain insight into how influence works at its most fundamental level.